Welcome back in. Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game, presented by TJ Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they are referred to so often. We got lots to get to on the last hour of the show here. Brandon Alley from S2 Cognition coming up at 8:30. Looking forward to that conversation with him. We've talked a lot about S2 and the process of how that relates to this draft coming up throughout the draft process. We'll get into more of that this hour. And, of course, more of that with Brandon Alley coming up at 8:30 as well. Joe, lots of reaction rolling into a column that you come out with at The Athletic this morning. A lot of very interesting reaction.
Get used to Will Levis. It's guaranteed to happen. By the way, the math on that, is this right that you would multiply 54 by 75? Is that right?
Again, you're asking somebody who got
into this profession. Isn't it like 0.75 you would multiply it by?
Right, like 0.75 by 0.54, and because people are telling me that I'm basically saying there's a 40.5% chance the Titans take Will Levis.
Sure.
I mean, it sounds about right, so I guess we'll go with that. I have the Will Levis, 40.5%, the field, 59.5%. That is my math on the Titan selection. Yes, there is some. Yeah, look, some of you are going a little too far.
It's a heck of a chance.
Yeah. Look, all I'm doing is I'm getting you all lathered up to be angry about Will Levis, and then it won't be, and then you'll be excited about whoever it is.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm doing the Titans work for them, okay? But some of you may be, you know, like Kobe forever. If it's Levis, I'm probably going to end my life. I mean, let's, you know.
Maybe a little extreme.
Yeah, let's.
Let's have a little trust in the franchise.
Let's not go there.
Well, let me be clear. If they draft Will Levis, it's going to be a horrible pick. Like, I've talked about that. But I'm also kind of rooting for it.
You are down on that. Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. I can't
wait
for
Friday. You're so confident in it.
I can't wait for
Friday. I'm very confident.
You know, I will tell you, and I'm not all gung-ho. I mean, I think I rank them the same as I have, which is him last. But Dane Brugler kind of talked me into, like, having more of an open mind about Levis, you know? I mean, I did like him in 21. I thought he was good then. I just thought he stunk last year. But
I mean, I'll have an open mind about it. My initial reaction is going to be I don't like it. That's just what it's going to be.
Well, I think that, and again, like you said, there's some reaction on the column comments I got David R. says, can't wait to get the poor man's Jake Cutler.
Jake Cutler.
there's mostly negative reaction to this idea. There's some. It's not all. It's not across the board. But again, a lot of people would talk themselves into it.
It'll change. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if they actually draft him. Like, it's one thing to talk about the possibility of drafting him, but if they actually draft him, I think some of that narrative will change with the fan base.
Then it's just, okay, here it is. It's been 8 years since you tried this,
right,
and here you go again.
Another interesting quarterback that has been all over the place in terms of people's opinions on him the last couple of weeks is C.J. Stroud. And we've talked about the S2 thing with C.J. Stroud and whether or not the Texans are going to take him at number 2 overall. And if they don't take him, who will? Where will C.J. Stroud go? All those things. It's been an interesting time to be C.J. Stroud over the course of the past week. Now, the real question that I ask this time of year is, all right, in all this discussion around C.J. Stroud or name a player, specifically a quarterback, what's real and what's not real this time of year when it comes to the discussion around these players? And how do NFL teams actually feel about said player? That's something that there's always somebody every year heading into the draft that there's a little negative talk heading into the draft, and sometimes it plays out that talk is real and they don't go as high as they thought they would, and sometimes there's negative talk and then that person ends up going number 3 overall or whatever it is, and people forget about it. It's water under the bridge, and that just is what it is. What do you make of all the buzz around C.J. Stroud right now?
Some of it is just laughable. I don't think Brady Quinn was, you know, working on behalf, like Greg Doyle, good friend of mine, Indy Star columnist, wrote a really good column ripping all the people who have been ripping C.J. Stroud. And he pointed out, like, Brady Quinn works for this agency. And, like, you can take this to the conspiracy level if you want. Now, some of this may be that. With Brady Quinn, I just think he was being sloppy. And for people who don't know, he basically heard he ghosted the Manning camp. And then, as it turns out, a whole bunch of people were like, no, he actually never committed to coming at all. So, and it's like, first of all, honestly, even if he goes to the Manning camp, I couldn't care less.
Yes.
I couldn't care less. So it does it, all of it put together, it kind of almost feels coordinated. But the S2 stuff, I don't believe is fair or accurate. We're going to have Brandon Alley on at 8:30. He runs S2 Cognition. For people who don't know, Stroud's score reported by Bob McGinn, who Red Doyle ripped the heck out of Bob McGinn, too, in his column. An executive told Bob McGinn that he got an 18. I don't think that's his best score. Brandon Alley's not going to respond. Like, he is not going to talk about individual players. I mean, look, these results are proprietary. So they belong to the teams. There are 15 right. teams in this league that have all the scores of all the players. That's it.
By the way, pay for those.
They pay for those. They pay a lot of money yeah. to have these results.
Right.
And the other 17 teams don't have them, and the individuals don't have them. So if you're wondering, you know, like Jared asked this question, you know, like, why hasn't CJ Stroud's agent come out and said this is BS? They don't know. They don't have the results. I mean, you could sit here and say, that sounds like crap. There's no way. But the reality is, I think that he has a much better score than the best, and it's fine, and it's in line with how he plays. And I think I don't know what it means. Does it mean that there's a GM who's actually out there trying to get CJ Stroud to drop so he can take CJ Stroud? I'll say this. If CJ Stroud drops to 4 and the Colts are like, thank you, the Colts are an S2 team. That's pure speculation on my part. They are an S2 team. They have the results. The Titans do too, by the way. They are. So bottom line is, with CJ Stroud, I think it absolutely is weird and a bit unfair. And I don't buy that he's going to be some huge fall deep in the draft. Like, the S2 stuff's great. Again, we'll learn more about it when we have Brandon on later. I mean, there's never, ever anything more important than watching people play football who are going to try to play football in the NFL. He plays it at a high level.
And, you know, the big part that people have praised with him the whole time has been accuracy, right? And we can talk about arm strength and pocket awareness and all these different things that are really important when it comes to the quarterback position. But to me, the number one trait in a quarterback that I'm looking for is accuracy. And if you're accurate with the football, you're going to give yourself a chance in the NFL. Now, yes, you have to process what you're seeing and all these different things, but the accuracy has been something that we've talked about with CJ Stroud that has been a major strength of his the whole time. So I say all that to say, here we are 2 days away from the draft, and I don't see C.J. Stroud, just me, I don't see him getting beyond pick 3. Like, I don't see it. I would be very surprised if he gets beyond pick 3 in this draft.
I thought you said earlier he's going pick 2.
Well, I think that's where I think he's going still, but beyond 3.
Yeah, like, if that doesn't happen, I'm with you. I think someone will move into 3.
To go get him.
To get him, yes. Now here's what Brandon Alley, because again, we're not going to ask him about individual players or any of this stuff. Pat McAfee had him on. He's been on like every podcast or show in especially the last few days. This is what he said about the S2 scores in the Bob McGinn, well, recent reporting. Quote, what I will say is, the list of scores that I have seen, two of those scores are not accurate. They're not accurate at all. Some of the reasoning could be for narrative purposes. The other reasons are that they don't have context. So somebody could have gotten a list of very early scores, end quote. Now, he said two. In the Bob McGinn story, Hendon Hooker's S2 score was reported as 46. The other three guys, and I know, I mean, Athletic has confirmed basically through the Panthers that Bryce Young got a 98. And that Will Levis got a 93. That's another, by the way, on the Will Levis of the Titans train. S2 score, looking pretty good. All you Levis haters, how about that S2 score? Richardson reported in the McGinn story, and I have not seen that confirmed, but as a 79. And then again, 46 for Hooker, 18 for Stroud. Those numbers are percentile. So, you know, 99 is the highest you can do. Better than 99% of others who have ever taken the test, right?
Yep.
So is the second score that's not accurate Hooker's 46? Because honestly, 46 is not
great.
That's not exciting to me when you also consider the offense.
Yeah, it's a great question. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Sean from Nashville. Sean, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I've got a simple question for all the CJ Stroud lovers. What's the difference between him and Dwayne Haskins? then Dwayne Haskins, wasn't he praised as accurate? Didn't he have gaudy numbers? How did he turn out? What about Cardale Jones? Tell me one Ohio State quarterback.
Cardale Jones? Come on, man. So because they wore Ohio State uniforms, they're the same guy? That's ridiculous.
What about Dwayne Haskins and C.J. Stroud?
That's at least a reasonable comparison. I mean, again, most quarterbacks don't make it. Most quarterbacks don't work out. But like Cardale Jones, where did he go in the draft? Sixth round? I mean,
I don't know if he was sixth round, but yeah.
Fourth? He was second round? Okay. Yep. All right. I mean, Cardale Jones was the third string quarterback who had this incredible run to the national title game and really, for most of his Ohio State career, couldn't get on the field. C.J. Stroud, was a Heisman candidate who I just – look, at some point, and I get it, people want to think about schools and all that. I mean, Ohio State's offense, when Urban Meyer was coach most of the time, was not an offense that translated to the NFL.
No.
It's changed that much in this time. You're right. Haskins, that's fine. I mean, he didn't work out. We also know that Dwayne Haskins had a lot of stuff going on in his personal life, right? So I just the desire to conflate people from the same college is way overboard in the draft time.
John, thanks for the call. So I agree. Now the bigger thing about Stroud is the accuracy's great, right? And the completion percentage is good. Now what you brought up last week I think is also a fair question. Look at who he's been throwing the ball to. He's been throwing to Smith and Jigba and Marvin Harrison Jr. and Chris Olave, and you go up and down the list of guys, Garrett Wilson, go up and down the list of guys that he's been throwing the ball to. So how much does that affect what he actually is as a prospect? I don't know, but that is something that you've got to figure out if you're an NFL talent evaluator at that point.
For sure. Cardale Jones, by the way, was not a second-round pick, although he was higher than I thought. He went in the fourth round in 2016. Yep.
That sounds about right. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have more on the NFL draft. The quarterback's coming up next. Take more of your thoughts as well on our phone and text lines. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in to Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 102.5, 1 and 106.3, The Game. For the first three rounds coming up on Thursday and Friday, coverage presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, thenewcumberland.com, Smoky Mountain Tops, Parman Energy, B&B Flooring, and the Nashville Sheriff. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5, The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So discussing the quarterbacks, we'll have Brandon Alley from S2 Cognition coming up at 8:30. So looking forward to that conversation with him. And Joe, this is going to be interesting. You know, the S2 part of this, as we've talked about several times, has become, quite the talking point around the NFL. You brought it up. I mean, Brandon Alley, who's going to be with us here in a few minutes, was on the McAfee show yesterday. He's been all around the media landscape the past few days with everybody looking into S2 Cognition. What do you think, the teams that have it, obviously two teams per division now allowed to have it. What do you think the quarterback, as we continue to get more information about the S2 testing and the quarterback position specifically and how those scores could relate to on-field performance, how much of a test case do you think this draft in particular is going to be with all that?
Well, so, and I was kind of I had this conversation with Agent 31. By the way, LD from McMinnville, fantastic.
Just beautiful.
Fantastic illustration of Jared. That's Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible,
yes,
right?
Yes, just suspending from the rafters.
Suspending into the Titans draft room to get the information. But I had this conversation with Jared about Stroud, because Jared was about to go on his XM show last night, about how Stroud would be like this ultimate test case. And I said that last week when we got the number, right? But the problem is 18's not accurate. So, because if it was 18, it was like that's his score, and then he goes out and just dominates, and I think a lot of people are like, okay, S2. I mean, again, S2 has value. It's first of all, it's all the players. I do think quarterback safety, the players that have to see the whole field,
yep,
it's more important. And as Brandon has said this himself, it's like, if you're an edge rusher, go crush your guy and go sack the quarterback. Yeah, the processing stuff isn't, it's not as important. And the S2 testing, again, is for baseball players, soccer, but it has become this huge talking point in the NFL. So if there is at some point someone who has a bad score who does great, or, and this is going to happen, I mean, look, there's going to be, most of these quarterbacks, I think, score pretty well that are top of the draft. I don't think there's a coincidence there. So I think there is a correlation. I think it's predictive to some point. But there's going to be a quarterback. There are going to be plenty of quarterbacks who have great S2 scores who don't do crap in the NFL.
Sure.
So, and all that's going to do to me is say, remind people, it's a tool in the toolbox. You know, your 40 time also matters. Your hand size is part of it. That's a hugely important.
I hadn't talked enough about that this time.
Exactly. We haven't. You know, I mean, Dennis asked about hand size last week. We'll revisit that before the draft. But look, I think it's an effective test, an effective tool for sure, and it's going to be interesting. I'd love to go back through history and give S2 tests to great quarterbacks over the years and see how that related to performance. I would be willing to bet there's some correlation.
Jonathan from Spring Hill says that we both need to take the S2. You already have.
I have. Now, you know what? Maybe I'll have to ask Brandon when we have him on the air. I don't know that I took 9 because there's 9 tests.
Yep.
And I want to. I feel like I took about 5.
Did you have to leave early? It was too much for you, Rex.
Well, I mean, I certainly was not. I quickly realized that my processing is not good. So my S2 score, I would say, I would guess if I took all 9, would be pretty bad.
Indy Ben.
Robbie would do better than me.
I don't know.
And Michelle.
Indy Ben on the text line says, all this talk about the Titans going quarterback seems a bit silly to me. They're much more likely to stay put or slightly trade down and take a tackle. They don't have the ammo to move up for a quarterback. And if they did trade up for one, they'd be putting that quarterback in a bad spot by not surrounding him with much help offensively. This is from our friend Indy Ben on the text line.
Yeah, again, it's...
Good to hear from you, Ben.
Yes. What are you trying to do, Indy Ben? What are you trying to do? Are you trying to... trying to tilt the draft in the Colts' favor. Well, look, if they take a quarterback, whether it's moving back, sticking at 11, moving up, you're right. They do have the ammo. It's draft picks. I mean, if you went from 11 to 6, which right now is my prediction, it's going to cost you some draft capital, but it's not going to completely rob you of all your draft capital.
Yeah.
Look, you're not. If you're doing that, you are thinking long term. If you're doing that, you're acknowledging that this year's team just isn't a contender in the AFC. And you've been in compete for the Super Bowl mode. I mean, you were the number one seed 2 years ago. But look at where things are now after 7 straight losses. You're confirming that you have to go in a different direction. You have to try to find your franchise quarterback. Okay. I mean, you have to do these things at times. The only reason to do what you said is if you actually believe you can contend this year.
How about this tweet from Darren Revelle? Just put this out there. Big movement in NFL draft overnight. Will Levis moved from 50-1 to 20-1 to go number one overall at Point Bet Sportsbook and just moved again to 10-1.
What?
That one I don't get.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Money's coming in on Will Levis to go number one overall.
Well, I'll tell you what. If he goes number one overall,
go get Bryce Young.
Trade Jeffrey Simmons, go get Bryce Young.
Even though he just got a contract, it's still in play. Go get Bryce Young.
Well, they get the contract.
They know exactly what they're paying Jeffrey Simmons.
Exactly. You've done the work for them.
I don't know that I anticipate number one overall. Hey, it's the draft, man. Things have happened.
The Panthers.
That are very surprising.
The Panthers are an S2 team. They have the scores, and they know, and it's been confirmed. Bryce Young, 98. Will Levis, 93. Not that big of a difference.
Somebody on the text line says, I could see Joe pulling a Costanza and having someone take the test for him. Did you have someone forge your S2 test, Joe?
I wish I did.
Jeez.
Once I was in the chair.
Under attack.
Yeah. Once I was in the chair failing miserably, I wished I had someone else do it. We should see. We'll ask Brandon. I mean, he's not very busy right now.
No.
He's not getting too many calls these days or anything.
We'll see. Brandon, we can go back to the records and go find Joe's S2 score. That'd be great.
And also, we'll all come in and we'll take it all again. That'd be fun.
Got any time tomorrow, Brandon?
Yeah. About Thursday, late afternoon.
I mean, you would assume that I guess most of the work would be done by then, at least the NFL part of it.
I mean, he has been in draft, at least one draft room. I know that, like on draft night.
Oh, yeah.
So there's like long meetings with the teams that pay them money for those S2 scores right now.
This week's Nashville's best deal is Bite a Bit in the heart of East Nashville. You can get half off a $30 gift card while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Bite a Bit features all the best Thai food, sushi, and cocktails that you will love. You can check them out at biteabitthaisushi.com. Coming up next, we will be joined by Brandon Alley from S2 Cognition. We'll get into the S2 Cognition test and all the conversation around it right now that has become a hot topic in the NFL leading up to the NFL draft. That is next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Brandon Alley from S2 Cognition. Brandon, good morning. How you doing?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on.
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. We know you're a busy man this time of year, so appreciate the time. Brandon, for the listeners that may not be quite as familiar with it, just kind of take us through the process of how S2 Cognition got started and kind of what the idea was behind it when you guys founded it.
Yeah, sure. So both Scott and I were college athletes, and we enjoyed sports. Throughout the process, we had both had career-ending injuries and ended up getting a PhD in cognitive neuropsychology and cognitive neuroscience. And we actually ran academic labs for about 15 years and met at Vanderbilt in the Department of Neurosurgery and Neurology, where we were essentially both studying brain processes and how they operate in everyday world, really sort of fast-paced environments. I was interested in the dynamic visual memory system that we use when we're driving and how that breaks down in the aging process. And Scott was more also in aging, but understanding how movement disorders happen. So how we start, stop, switch, redirect our motor system in split seconds. And we've both always been involved in sports. I mean, sports was critical to me growing up. I continue to coach elementary, middle school, and high school athletes. And so when we were thinking through this, it was always, you know, understanding how athletes are wired to play the game. And most of the things within that space were in the IQ space. So how bright a kid was, how well they could learn the playbook, how well they could learn complex schemes. We wanted to be more engaged on how they were wired to play on the field. So once you learn the rules and know the rules, how do you execute? How quickly can you make decisions? How can you track things in your visual environments? How can you shield out distractions? And we wanted to come up with a profile so that players and coaches could utilize for A, player development purposes. So can we get better, especially young athletes? And also just understanding, hey, my guy is wired to do this, so I can best put him in the best situations to succeed on the field. An example of that would be, you know, this defensive back is more wired for man versus man play rather than zone play. And so knowing that information, it's not only helpful to the coaching staff, but it's also helpful to the athletes so that they can succeed in what they're doing. So that's just a general thrust of how the company started and the space we've been in for the last 10 years or so.
And, you know, Brandon, I knew you before you were rich and famous, and now you are you are the toast of the sports world. Well, first of all, what's the last, I don't know, week or so been like for you? But also, I feel like just this draft in general, the conversation around S2 has exploded, at least from my perspective. Same for you guys?
Joe, it's been wild. And as you pointed out, you've known me for a few years now. We prefer to stay under the radar and have successfully done so for the last 8 NFL drafts. And for whatever reason this year, you know, I mean, you see it every year, right? It's during this 2 weeks leading up to the draft, things get leaked, narratives get started. And I think we just happen to be at the center of it this year, which has changed my daily interaction significantly. But, you know, we're dealing with the best we can.
But do you think, though, I feel like moving forward, Brandon, every year now, people are going to be conditioned to wonder about S2 scores, right? I mean, do you anticipate that, too, that it's just going to be part of the natural conversation around the draft now? And if so, do you like that or not?
Well, I wish I had my crystal ball, Joe. But, you know, I think given what other companies, let's just take the Wunderlich as an example. I mean, you know, the guys at the combine have been trying to contain leaks and scores for 20 years now, and it remains difficult. We obviously are taking a look with all of our teams, as you know, and you've pointed out, I've seen some of the stuff you've written. We're contracted with 15 NFL teams, and the data are exclusive to those teams. And so we want to try to keep it that way. I mean, there is absolutely a level of exclusivity here, having the data and those that don't. And so we want to try to contain this as much as possible. So we are looking at ways to prevent this from happening in the future. And really working with our partners in the NFL to help us do that.
Brandon, what's some of the feedback that you guys have received in terms of what the value of cognitive performance evaluation has been? Be that either from the professional level or even, as you mentioned earlier, for maybe some of the younger levels of other people trying to do this.
Yeah, so from the professional level, I'll just start at that level because that's what's in the media right now. You know, it's one of those things where right now a big shining light is on S2, and it seems so critically important. And, you know, I'm not going to be self-deprecating here, nor am I going to be an ego-driven guy here. It's one piece of the puzzle. Right? These guys have to have the physical skill set to do it. They've got to have the psychological makeup to do it. They've got to have the game experience, game knowledge. All of that goes together. So I wouldn't say that there's anything inherent about the S2 that says, oh, this guy is undraftable. It gives you a piece of the puzzle about how this athlete is wired. At the NFL level, it is very specific. So the first question, when I'm sitting in draft meetings, the first question is always, what are we asking this particular player to do? What is his assignment? What is his role? And can we match up the S2 profile, which is a profile of 9 different cognitive processes? It's not just a 1 overall number. Can we help support those teams in making a decision of the way that athlete is wired? That always has to be driven in the context of the physical skills, all of the other measurables, right? I make this joke all the time. If you've got a defensive end that 6'6", can run 4.3 and has the force to just pancake an offensive lineman, it does not matter how many objects he can track in his visual field, right? He's doing his job. He is fit for that assignment. So it's just one piece of the puzzle. As you go down the levels, right, some athletes at the college level and the high school level are just pure athletic studs. I mean, they just are always going to outrun people, always run over people. But other athletes aren't as physically gifted, and they've got to rely on the cognitive skills to get it done. And so at those levels, we get a lot of great feedback of, man, we really appreciate you walking through these drills with us. We've been doing these impulse control drills in the cage, keeping my kids from swinging at sliders in the dirt. You know, little Sally was having trouble with a high heater out of the zone in fast pitch, and we've worked on this, and now she's able to reduce this chase rate. So those are the kinds of feedbacks we're getting at different levels. So it varies widely.
Yeah, well, that was actually going to be my next question, Brandon, is I think everybody thinks about this in terms of being predictive, but these tests also are designed also to help people work on things, right? Like, so let's just take it to like the NFL. If you know, a quarterback prospect scores whatever, and it's like maybe on distraction control, it's not great. How much improvement on that can be done?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, as young athletes are developing, the brain is still maturating, right? And that's why we see differences in 14-year-old boys at the middle school level. Some are shaving and some aren't going to shave for another 5 years. So there's a lot of variability in young athletes. But when we start talking about things like impulse control, distractibility, and the ability to improvise on the field, those are governed by brain regions that aren't fully maturated until the early to mid-20s. So there's still quite a bit of room to move the needle there. We never got in the game to be predictive. I think it's so hard to be predictive. It's a fallacy to try to predict. Yes, we do have some relationships to on-field performance. So we can be highly correlated with holding penalties or drop rates and things like that. But by nature, predicting how a human is going to perform is very difficult. The approach we took is we want to measure things at a capacity level. So what is their brain capable of? What is the maximum they're capable of? And use that as a starting point. And so we also measure at the systems level. So if I'm talking about impulse control, we're all familiar with impulse control, right? So if we're sitting at a red light and the turn lane is next to you and the arrow turns green, sometimes we just have the impulse to hit the gas, even though ours is still red. That impulse control system is governing that. The same impulse control that keeps us from swinging at sliders in the dirt, from jumping off sides. So we measure the capacity of that. Now, training is very different. So historically, we've used brain training apps and these kind of things. Hey, take this pitch recognition app for 30 minutes and you improve your batting average. That's just not how it works. It's got to be very, very specific to the context in which that athlete is operating. So as an example, for some of these elite quarterbacks, when we look at distractibility, we may use a biomechanical efficiency measure. So there are high-speed cameras that really capture how these athletes are mechanically efficient, their spin rate, and things like that. Well, we can add distraction in there. We can easily put a linebacker running right or left, and we can actually quantify how much their biomechanical efficiency deteriorates with that distraction. Well, now we can start to work on that and utilize drills that are more specific to what that quarterback is going to be doing in the game to ensure that that biomechanical efficiency doesn't slide over time. So, I mean, it's really, it's always a work in progress. I think we're just scratching the surface in athlete development, and that's something that's going to evolve, over the next decade. You see new technologies like virtual reality coming into the picture. Those kinds of things are have the potential to really move the needle in how athletes are being trained. So I think from a development standpoint, we have the fundamentals of what the scientific literature tells us of how to improve performance with these cognitive systems. But doing it in a sports-relevant context is the most important part and something that we're just really at the beginning stages of.
Yeah, and of course, I remember you telling me 3 years ago, like, really, you guys are looking at this as you really interested in youth sports and using these tools to help athletes improve and develop. The focus for us, of course, is on the pro side or on the college side of things, and LSU, Vanderbilt among your early clients. The Titans are now a client, a relatively recent development. So I know you guys, Brandon, initially you were going to do one team per division. Now it's two. Do you expect that to stay there, or how do you see that evolving or changing, if at all, down the road?
Yeah, I think it's always a balance between growth as a business and keeping our clients happy. And I think we're at that happy medium in which, we did get some pushback about expanding to two teams in a division and losing some level of exclusivity, and we completely understand that. I think we're really content right now, giving our team some level of exclusivity within their division, and not just expanding wide range in sports. We enjoy those relationships. We're much more about the relationships than sort of just being as wide as we can in pro sports. And so, obviously we're going to learn a lot after this draft. I mean, we're out there, it's no longer sort of a secret that these 15 teams have had. So I think we're going to learn a lot. We're going to get a lot of feedback, and we may end up making some adjustments.
So I don't think I took 9 tests, but I did come in there and take a few. I mean, I was trash, right? You can say it. I mean, I was terrible.
Joe, you're really good at what you do. I'm not seeing you on Sundays on my TV. So.
I actually feel better about my lack of athleticism after taking your test. I'm like, oh, this actually explains my poor sports career. Yeah. We're all going to come in and take the test. You guys aren't busy, right? We're all going to just come in as a show and take the test. Is that cool?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
That's right. Well, Brandon, we really enjoy
the leaderboard.
That's right. Brandon, we really enjoyed this. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and good luck in the next couple of days, and we'll talk to you soon.
Man, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Brandon Alley from S2 Cognition, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. That was very fascinating. I learned a lot. in that conversation.
It is. It is a fascinating, and it really is. I mean, I think it's a frontier that's early, and it's going to be a big part of athletics moving forward. I think kids in particular, you know, working on things like this.
We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More on the S2 test, the NFL draft, everything on the table on our phone and text line. 615-737-1025. That is next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Thanks to Brandon Alley from S2 Cognition for being with us in the last segment. Joe, we did not get a specific S2 score from you, but he did confirm that you were really good at what you do, so that's good to know.
Yeah. I wish now that I would have tried to get a score. It would be funny. It would be funny to talk about right now.
Joe, you actually scored a 3. Congratulations.
A -2, which is impossible, but you did it.
Dennis on the text line says, it was very interesting. I wonder how S2 could be used beyond athletics, possibly aiding in brain injury / Alzheimer's research. I don't know.
That's funny.
That's way above my pay grade.
Well, that's what it is. So I forget who's who, but one of those guys, Brandon, worked with Alzheimer's patients. I think Brandon, but either Brandon or Scott. And then the other one worked with Parkinson's patients.
Yep.
So a lot of these, the genesis for these tests came with working with people like that, and it's, you know, helping people, you know, who obviously dealing with tough situations to try to improve their processing and their functioning, things like that. And they're just both sports fans, so they basically, you know, wrote about this, but it's like they were watching the draft, and, you know, it's like Mel Kiper was like, he just got a nose for the ball.
Yeah.
There's something. He's just got it out there. They're like, no, this is actually a thing. Like, you know, it's trying to make the intangible tangible. So it's worked out pretty well for them.
And as he pointed out, I mean, this is not a new thing. They've been partnered with NFL teams for 8 years now. And this is one of those things where the division part of this, it was, I'm glad you asked that question at the last part of it. Like, obviously there's a ton of discussion around this right now. I mean, he was on the McAfee show yesterday. You know, people are talking about S2 scores left and right. Is this going to be something that grows, or are the partnerships basically going to remain where they are, where they're with 15 teams in the NFL right now?
Yeah, it's like the haves and have-nots.
Yeah.
Half the NFL. Like, if I'm Chris Ballard, I'm sure there was some pushback. Chris Ballard was – the Colts were the team that had S2, and the Titans long ago, you know, turned them down. And then I'm sure if Chris Ballard was probably ticked off last fall when he found out, oh, now the Titans are going to have it too. Like, what? But, yeah, it's an interesting situation. Like, exclusivity is good, but also the people want to pay you a lot of money. You know, I mean, it is really interesting. But, again, I think, like, the growth of the business is probably in the youth sports realm. I mean, I can see a lot of people as they become familiar with this. And it's like he said, when young athletes' brains are still growing, once you get to, like, I couldn't probably improve much on my S2.
Right.
You know?
Maybe.
Yeah. Cut out a few Coors Lights. I don't know.
Well, obviously, we weren't going to get into, you know, specific scores. I mean, he wouldn't have told us, first off. There's no point in asking questions about specific scores as it relates to quarterback prospects. But we all know there's a lot of discussion around the C.J. Stroud part of this. Right now, we talked about that earlier this hour. Like, all right, well, what exactly is the information as it relates to C.J. Stroud? Is the 18 accurate as you move into it? Because, you know, Brandon Alley said yesterday on McAfee that, you know, some of the scores that have been out there are not correct. So what exactly does that look like, and how, at the end of the day, for the 15 teams that have access to this, you know, if any of those teams are interested in a C.J. Stroud or a Hendon Hooker or whoever, how much does the S2 kind of play into their decision making when it comes to drafting these players? And as he talked about, you know, it's part of the puzzle. It's part of the tools that you have to use to evaluate these guys. And we had somebody on the text line a couple segments ago, like, what happened to watching the film? Is there anything wrong with that? Like, no. I mean,
no.
Film is part of the process.
I mean, he said himself,
yeah.
Like, it's a tool. It's one thing. There's a lot of different tools to use to evaluate players. So I think that puts in the proper context. But, yeah, I mean, if you want to play, again, he doesn't want to talk about this stuff anymore. Again, these teams that pay him have exclusive rights to this data, you know? But he did say that on McAfee, and I think he said it on another podcast, basically, that there's some incorrect scores. Well, if you want to play, go back to being a super sleuth right now. I can tell you, Joe Person for The Athletic has confirmed 98 for Bryce Young and 93 for Will Levis.
Correct.
So essentially, then, that would be two of the three remaining scores that are incorrect. Richardson reportedly a 79. And then the two bad scores reported are 46 for Hooker and 18 for Stroud.
Right.
It sounds like Hooker and Stroud are, and you know, the quote he gave to McAfee early, you know, remember, they do take it more than one time. Sometimes you have external factors going on, taking a test or whatever. So it sounds like maybe those two did better than Bob McGinn's story suggests.
That was some good sleuth work.
Thank you.
Yep. 615-737.
But maybe Richardson got a 99 and not a 79. I don't know.
Maybe. And, you know, we said this earlier. What does it all mean when the draft starts? Who knows? But we're 2 days away now at this point. And still the most fascinating part of it from a Titan standpoint, we went through the Rand Carthon pre-draft press conference yesterday. If they're taking a quarterback, if that's their plan, is somebody going to be there that they like at 11? Like, if it's Will Levis that they want, is he going to be there at 11? If it's Anthony Richardson that they want, is he going to be there at 11? I kind of have my doubts that maybe that would be the case. So if you're the Titans, do you move up? Is it to 3? Is it to 6? Are you comfortable doing that? They are, the more I think about it, and I was kind of going through this yesterday, you know, they are one of maybe 2 or 3 teams that are the most intriguing heading into this draft. Obviously, all of that relating to the quarterback position as well.
The AFC South may stink on the field, but by golly, they're dominating this draft.
Yeah, they are. See, I'd put Houston in number 1.
It's the year of the AFC South. It's the year of S2 in the AFC South.
Yeah. Really, like, a lot of this is going to start with what is Houston going to do. Because if they just go, if it's Young 1 and then Stroud 2, then all of a sudden there's like, oh, boy. Like, somebody's got to get up to get to 3 if they want Richardson. Like, that could be – Houston's the wild card in this thing.
I mean,
if they're really not wanting to take a quarterback, that could change the whole dynamic of the draft.
Well, I don't know anything about this sports book you just mentioned. But
point bet.
What if? Yeah, I mean, what if there's something to that, and Levis goes 1?
Goes 1. Oh boy,
that'd be a plot twist,
man.
Yes, it would.
And then, first of all, then everyone here who's right now complaining about Levis would be like, oh, I could have bet Levis. It was Levis all along. But also, that means Bryce Young is there for the Texans.
Yeah.
So that's bad. So what you could have with that, you could have Bryce Young going to the Texans and CJ Stroud going to the Colts, and you're the Titans sitting there not feeling great about things.
Yeah. You could be in a really
try to get Anthony
spot.
Richardson.
That's true.
Trade
or
back.
Or Hendon Hooker.
Get Hendon Hooker.
Like you said, I like the trade up. I like the trade up for the second.
Or you just draft an offensive lineman and a wide receiver, and you go from there, which is what some people still want.
Go 9-8 and live happily ever.
9-8 and then say, probably need a quarterback next year, huh? That's going to do it for us today.
Joe Milton.
Here on Robbie and Rex Road. Mark Dominic, former NFL general manager, joining Chase and Michelle at 9:30. So looking forward to that. Chase and Michelle is next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.